Good evening. Welcome to worship on this eve of Easter 7. Some people would say it's also the 10th Sunday of the coronavirus. And so we mark time different ways, but we're Easter people. And it's good to have you worshiping with us virtually. We have heard from the governor of our state that sometime next week, churches will be able to start having in-person worship very cautiously, very carefully. This space that we're in seats about 200 people. That would mean we could have 25 to 50 people present for worship. And so we thank God that pretty soon, with due caution, we'll be able to worship together again. Good to have you with us. A few announcements that I want to highlight for you. First of all, I want to extend sympathies to my good friend Bill Leiser. Bill Leiser lost his dear uncle Bob McKenna, and we want to remember Bill and all of Bob McKenna's family in our prayers tonight. Also, I want to give a shout out to a young man. He's a high school student out in Manchester, Connecticut, and his name is Luke. Luke is battling cancer, and we know that he has the faith of Jesus. And so, Luke, we want you to know that we're praying for you, and we pray that God will give you and your family the blessed assurance that God's got this. This past week, we celebrated Ascension Day on May 21st, and that means that Jesus has gone to heaven. And what do as we wait? Well, God's people get together for worship, and they pray, and we do the holy work of God. This coming week, on Tuesday, I'll begin round two of my chemo treatment. I want to thank all of you for your prayers. The past 2 weeks have been harder than I thought, but it is a blessing from Christ himself that I can be with you tonight, that I can worship with you and share with you the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next Saturday, a week from today, Pastor Tim Duesenberg will be filling in and covering for me as I recover from my second round of chemo. I believe those are the announcements that need to be highlighted. I invite you to rise as you are able for our brief order for confession and forgiveness found on page 10 in With One Voice. In the season of Easter, we worship as we live, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In silence, let us confess our sins unto our merciful Lord. Most merciful God, We confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our gathering hymn, Lord, you give the Great Commission, hymn number 756 in With One Voice.
Lord, you give the Great Commission, heal the sick and neglect its mission. words assuring, I am with you to the end. Faith and hope and love restoring, may we serve as you intend. And amid the cares that claim us, hold in mind eternity. With the Spirit's gifts empower us for the work of ministry.
Our service continues on page 28. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, eleison.
Christ, have mercy.
Kyrie, eleison.
Lord, have
to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest, glory to God, glory to God, and peace to God's people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, and peace to God's people.
The Lord be with you.
and also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus you have made us all one. Grant that his prayer, that all his disciples be one as you are one, be manifest in our lives for the sake of your mission in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
We prepare our hearts for the hearing of God's word.
Our first lesson is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. Then the disciples returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and his brothers. In those days Peter stood up among the brothers, the company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm for tonight is Psalm 68, and we will read it responsively. God shall arise, his enemies shall be scattered.
And those who hate him shall flee before him.
As smoke is driven away, so you shall drive them away.
As wax melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God.
But the righteous shall be glad.
They shall exult before God. They shall be jubilant with joy.
Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts.
His name is the Lord. Exult before him.
Father of the fatherless and protector of widows.
Is God in his holy habitation.
God settles the solitary in a home.
He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land.
O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness,
the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain, before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel.
Rain in abundance, O God, you shed abroad. You restored your inheritance as it languished.
Your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy.
Our second lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it come upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of God and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteousness is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? Eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence, with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but I am praying for those you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Normally, I would have a children's message at this point, but I actually posted it a couple of days ago on Ascension Day. And if you go to our Emmanuel of Rochester Facebook page, you can watch that gift with your children or your grandchildren. Let us sing together now the hymn on Eagle's Wings, hymn number 779.
My rock in whom I trust. you to shine like the sun and hold you in the palm of my hand. Snares of the Father will never capture you, and famine will bring you no fear. Under God's wings, your refuge, with faithfulness, your shield. And I will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun.
God's given a command to guide you in all of your ways. Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And I will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of my hand.
And hold you in the palm of my hand. This is the promising words of a promising God. Let me begin by quoting a familiar text of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your cares on God, because God cares for you. Let me begin by asking you a question, and I'm not being facetious. How do you know that someone actually, really cares for you? That their care, for example, is not calculated, that it's not simply made to give something to get something, that they're not just in it for themselves. How do you know? How do you measure? How do you quantify care? People in the care industry, I mean, they actually have surveys that they take. The healthcare industry, they want to know, are we measuring up? So how do you figure out if someone actually cares for you? Is it the size of the bouquet? My mother used to say, if they don't care enough to send me flowers while I'm alive, please tell them not to waste their money when I'm gone and in heaven with Jesus. How do you know that somebody cares? Is it the amount of money they spend? Is it the size of the package? Is it the amount of cards you get in the mail? How do we know that someone cares? Cast all your cares on God, St. Peter says, and he's not just blowing smoke. Cast all your cares on God because God cares for you. Well, how do we know? I mean, imagine someone says, who cares? Who really cares? Imagine someone look at you and say, you know, no one cares for you. Well, what if they didn't complete the sentence? What if we needed a word from God to complete that sentence? What if we needed a shepherd who would speak the rest of that sentence and says, you're exactly right. No one cares for you. No one cares for me the way Jesus cares for you and for me. How do we measure care? God sent his only Son into the world so that all who believe in Jesus would not perish. That's like forever time, my friends, but that they might instead participate in the glory of God for all eternity. God cares. He shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus says, no greater love has anyone than this. It's a good word to hear on this Memorial Day weekend. No greater love than this, that a person lay down their life for a friend. The one who makes the ultimate sacrifice to say, I love you, to show I love you, not just to simply demonstrate care, but to actually save us from sin, death, and the devil. Cast all your cares on God, because God cares for you. I love what St. Peter says, because I really believe that he's speaking from experience. He knows what it's like to, well, not always make the best of choices, but to know that there was a caregiver, that there was a shepherd who refused to let go of his lamb, who kept pursuing Peter, who kept holding on to Peter in the palm of his hand. Peter knows what it means to be cared for. It was in the season of Easter, as you may recall, John chapter 21, that Jesus helped Peter and the disciples catch a miraculous catch of fish. 153 fish, they couldn't even put it into the boats, there were so many. Someone says, it's the Lord on the shore who's given the directions. And Peter puts his robe on, he jumps into the water, and he heads for shore as quickly as he can. And Jesus has a fire, fish and bread. He cares, so he feeds his beloved disciples. And then he says to Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Simon Peter, do you love me? It's a question about care. Do you care? Do you care about my death and my resurrection? Do you care about salvation, not just for yourself, but for the whole suffering world? And so the good shepherd wraps his arms around Peter and says, I care for you, Peter, and now I'm sending you to go and care for my sheep all around the world. God cares. He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, will he not give us all good things with him? This is most certainly true. God cares. God cares for you. Now, I want you to think about our epistle reading for tonight, because throughout the season of Easter, we've been blessed with readings from the five chapters of 1 Peter. It's a baptismal homily. It's a brief sermon where Peter is instructing scattered seeds in Asia Minor, newly baptized, born-again believers, about what it means to be Christian, to suffer for Christ, to walk in his footsteps, and to suffer for others as Christ has suffered for us. Our epistle reading for tonight begins by saying these words. Do not be surprised by the fiery ordeal that is coming your way. Peter wants us to know that there should be nothing surprising about suffering as a follower of Jesus. There should be nothing surprising about being sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. To be a Christian is to suffer. And so Peter wants to give us, well, I think a faith-filled perspective about suffering and also about time. You know that in 1 Peter, the word suffering is mentioned 17 times. At the beginning, chapter 1, at the end, chapter 5, St. Peter will say, and when you have suffered for a little while. Now, maybe that little while is for 10 seconds, or for 2 days, or for a season of chemo. Maybe it's for this season of COVID-19. When you have suffered for a little while, maybe it's for decades, maybe it turns out to be from the time you're born until the time you die and rise and go to be with God for all eternity. But Peter wants us to make sure we don't forget that whatever suffering comes our way in this life, it is a sliver. He's not trying to minimize our suffering, my friends. He knows how painful suffering is. But he wants us to understand that there's a difference between suffering that is for a little while compared to the inheritance that God has prepared for those who love him, which is from everlasting to everlasting, which is eternal. That's the perspective that Peter wants to give us. So don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal, the suffering, the agony that comes upon you. Know this, God cares for you in a way that no one else on earth could ever care for you. God cares for you. So what is this perspective that Peter wants us to understand? Well, first of all, he wants us to understand that not all suffering is the will of God. He also wants us to understand that sometimes suffering is self-inflicted. And so Peter will say, you shouldn't exactly boast about suffering if you're a murderer or a meddler or a mischief maker. You see, there are choices and decisions we make in life that bring suffering upon ourselves, physically, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually. And there are choices, decisions that we make in life that will also, unfortunately, bring suffering upon neighbors, family, friends, co-workers. Not all suffering is Christian suffering. That's the first thing that Peter wants us to understand. But never be ashamed, Peter says, if you are suffering for the name of Jesus. Never be ashamed if you are suffering in accordance with God's will, which simply means that God is going to use every moment of human suffering that we endure as an opportunity to advance the gospel, to praise his name, to save the unsaved. Never be ashamed of participating in the sufferings of Jesus so that we might also participate in the eternal glory of Christ. And then Peter says, don't forget the judgment. He's reminding us about time again. You see, judgment begins with the household of God. And we don't have to worry, Peter says, because God has already made his decision for us. Jesus has already enfolded us into his kingdom in the midst of this fiery ordeal that simply proves that we are walking deep in the footsteps of Jesus. But judgment is coming. And what about those who have refused the gospel of God? What about those who have turned their backs on the saving gift of God's grace, the gift of the cross, the gift of the resurrection? You see, Peter is weeping as he is preaching because he's concerned not simply about his own salvation. He's concerned about the salvation of all God's people. What about those who will spend eternally, forever and ever, not just for a little while, but eternally separated from God because they want no part of Jesus, they want no part of his kingdom, they want no part of his love and his grace and his compassion and his care? You see, Peter wants to give us a deeper understanding and a faith-filled perspective about suffering. Don't be surprised. Cast all your cares on him. He cares for you. Your adversary? Did you notice that Peter didn't say that the devil was your friend or your best buddy? Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around. You know what he's doing? He's a predator. He's on the hunt. My wife has been praying after those, like, thousands and thousands of dandelions in our yard as her way of saying, take this, Satan, huh? Well, she notices that there's a lot of earthworms when you dig up one of those root systems in a dandelion. They must like the moisture there. And one night I was watching, I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm watching our robins. Did you know that a robin is a very skilled predator also? A skilled hunter. I did some reading about robins this past week. I mean, I already knew that they had keen eyesight and keen hearing. But I also learned that it's still a mystery how they're able to capture all those earthworms. They can't fully understand it. We do know that a robin has the ability to, with one eye, look in that direction, and with the other eye, at the same time, look in the other direction. That's amazing, talking about all eyes being on you. And we do know that there's something about their feet. They have this bobbing. They kind of bob across the lawn. You've seen it. If you haven't, take some time and watch them on the hunt. They're deliberate. They're intentional. They're after their prey. They're listening. They kind of cock their head. And then all of a sudden, the beak comes up, and you know it's got it because there is that dangly earthworm, a skilled hunter after its prey. So the image that Peter is using in his sermon in chapter 5, your adversary, the devil, the thief who comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, who wants nothing except to snatch you out of the hands of Jesus. He wants to deceive you. He wants to lie to you. In fact, the Bible calls him the father of all lies and liars. And Peter says, you know what he is? He's on the prowl. But here's the interesting thing. I hope you caught it when the lesson was read tonight. If you haven't, go back and read chapter 5 of 1 Peter again. It says, your adversary is like a roaring lion. Wait a minute. I think you and I both know that the lion doesn't make a sound until it has captured and killed its prey. And then it roars. What is Peter telling us? I've read the Chronicles of Narnia. I look forward to reading with my grandchildren as they grow up. The Chronicles of Narnia, where the Christ figure is a lion by the name of Aslan, the one who breathes life into all creation, the one who is the very word of God, the one who on the stone table gives his life as a sacrifice for our sins. And then in book 7, the final battle, there's a little stable, and there is a pretend Aslan. There's a pretend lion. It's a donkey that has a dead carcass on it, deceiving everyone so that they're led astray from the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's what I think Peter is telling us. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, not because he's got his prey, but because the devil is simply frustrated. He's angry, he's upset, he's roaring, he's on the prowl because he can't get his prey. You know why? Because Peter says, your shepherd, your good shepherd Jesus, you can't miss this, my friends. He positions himself right there between you and the devil. And he says, you're not going to get one of my own. This one belongs to me. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, my own treasured possession. That's what Peter's reminding us of. He can make all the noise that he wants, but all he's doing is letting us know that he's near. All he's doing is giving away his position. What a fool. We've got the good shepherd, and he's right there between us and the adversary. So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when you suffer for the name of Jesus. Don't be surprised when you suffer for the glory of God. Don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal. It might be economic persecution. It might be physical persecution. It might be all kinds of health struggles. Don't be surprised. God cares. And God's got it. I want to close by telling you a story. It's a story that goes back 6 years, and the date is embedded in my head. May 13th, 2014. It was my son's birthday. He turned 32, and I was keeping company with two dear friends. Well, actually, several friends, but because of two dear friends. Don and Peg were at St. Mary's Hospital because Peg was having a tumor removed from her brain. Very serious surgery. What do we do when we know that God cares and he's put us into a ministry of compassion and care? We keep company with each other. That's what God's people do. We keep company with each other. And so I was there spending time with Don, his daughter, Trish. And then I noticed that there was another family in there. They had a couple of big suitcases. I noticed that the one daughter, she was probably 40, and she had a sweatshirt on. On the front of the sweatshirt, it said, Team James. And on the back of it, it said, 1 Peter 5:7. Well, I know what 1 Peter 5:7 says. Cast all your cares on God, because God cares for you. And over the course of time, as we waited for the surgery to unfold, as we prayed together, as we kept ourselves in the presence of Jesus and his word, I watched this family. Later on, Don and I found out more information about the family. We began visiting, and we found out that the husband, his name is Ron. Ron had a blastoma, stage 4, surgery that day. And his daughter had flown in from North or South Carolina. That's why she had the suitcases there. And they were telling me about their t-shirt, the sweatshirt. Team James, why? Because a good friend of Ron Johnson's daughter in the Carolinas had been recently murdered for no reason. No explanation. So Team James, and James' wife, 1 week after that murder, was diagnosed with breast cancer. And the daughter, whose husband wasn't able to come with her, was in his 40s, and that means that Ron's son-in-law had recently had a stroke. Don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal as though something strange were coming upon you. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion. He wants to not just get a snack. He wants to devour his prey. Well, we kept company with them. And in the process, we found out that the reason that 1 Peter 5:7 was on the back of that sweatshirt was because when they had their final time with Ron that morning before his surgery, they held hands, they were in scripture, they prayed together, and then the wife, her name is Pat, she showed me a picture on her phone. It was her husband, Ron, and on his forehead, she had written with marker, "God's got this." Resist him, Jesus says, firm in your faith. The faith of Jesus, nothing else can do it for us, my friends. So what happened in the aftermath of that surgery? Well, I'm thanking God every day that Peg's surgery means that 6 years later, she's still praising the Lord and serving him faithfully. I'm thankful that God gave more time to Ron and to his wife, Pat. Not a lot of time, but more time. And because God's got this, Ron is where he's always been. He's in the hands of Jesus for all eternity, my friends. And I've learned something too, my friends. God's got this. It's not that you got it, or you got it, or you got it, or that I got it. The only way we get it, the only way we got it, is because God's got it. It's the faith of Jesus. It's the grace of God. It's his atoning sacrifice on the cross for you and for me. So the fight that we're in, it's God's fight. Seriously. It's not your fight. It's not my fight. I mean, we get to walk in his footsteps. Don't get me wrong. But it's God's fight. And it's God's victory. And that's why the lion is so frustrated. The devil, the adversary. Because he can't touch us. God's got us. This day and forevermore. You know how Peter ends his sermon? Peace to all of you who are in Christ Jesus. Faith always leads to praise and always leads to peace. Cast all your cares on God, because God cares for you so that you can care for others too. No one cares for you like God cares for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join with me in the singing of our hymn of the day, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let us confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 33 in the With One Voice.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary.
He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended into hell.
On the third day he rose again.
He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
With joyful confidence, let us approach our Lord's throne of grace, there to pray on behalf of the church, the world, and all people according to their need.
O God,
beyond all praising, we worship you and adore you. You have revealed your glory through your Son, who has risen and ascended, and who reigns at your right hand forever. Lord, in your mercy,
Hear our prayer.
Make your church abide in Jesus as he abides in you. Cause it to preach the gospel of salvation and celebrate the sacraments in accordance with that gospel. Let it proclaim to the whole world your blessings without number and your mercy without end. Lord, in your mercy,
Hear our prayer.
Grant to your persecuted people a firm confidence in the hope that has been established through the steadfast obedience of Christ their Lord. Give them grace to triumph through their sufferings and rise to serve you even in the presence of those who trouble them. Lord, in your mercy,
Hear our prayer.
Unite our hearts with all disciples of your Son and servants of your gospel. Let us all be so united to your beloved Son and with one another that in everything we glorify your name and spread the bounties of your mercy throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
On this Memorial Day weekend, we lovingly commend into your care all our beloved dead, especially those who gave their life in service of their country. Keep their memories fresh and bright. Spur us to deeds of faithfulness, generosity, and self-sacrifice. And hasten the day when wars shall cease, evil is vanquished, every tear is wiped away, and you are truly all in all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Deal gently with all who are afflicted by confusion, sorrow, pain, remorse, or despair. Heal every hurt they have sustained, especially those we pray for.
Gracious Father, we pray for those who have been impacted by COVID-19. We pray for the end of this pandemic, for your glory, for your praise, and in your holy name. We pray also, Lord, for a young man named Luke, Manchester High School. We pray your blessings upon him and his family, Lord, in his battle with cancer. We know that the victory is already yours, and we pray, O Lord, that you would use this time of suffering to glorify your name, that you would heal him completely for your praise. Lord, we pray for comfort and strength for the family and the friends of Bob McKenna. May the assurance of resurrection of the body unto eternal life sustain those who grieve. Tonight we pray for Dan Brooklyn, for Barb Stephenson, for Melody, for Dean and Michelle, for Bernie, for Sandy Sunday, for Amy Cooper, for Denny Damerval, and for all those that we name you before you in the silence of our hearts.
Attend to the voice of our prayer for them. Bring them into a place of refreshment, health, and hope. Give compassion, wisdom, and patience to everyone who cares for them, and sustain them with your gracious spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. We praise and magnify you, dear Jesus. Accept our prayers and lay them at the feet of your Father, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns gloriously as Lord and our God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Receive the benediction. Now may the assurance of our Lord's resurrection and the promise of his coming again sustain you through all times of suffering, so that you may be equipped to care for others the way Christ has already cared for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our dismissal hymn number 790, Thanks Be to You.
High the weak and lowly, thanks be to you forever.
high, the weak and lowly. Thanks be to you forever. Thanks be to you forever.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.